Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you for the next hour. Welcome on this July the 31st on the West Coast still. However, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, it is now August the 1st. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us. And we're going to go right into tonight's guest because, or I should say, into introducing tonight's guest, to be specific. We are going to be talking about a lot of current events that are going on related to your health and related to what is now surfacing in the media. For the past couple of days, the media has been putting the scare factor back into the bird flu again, and it happens to coincide with the opening of the Olympics on one week from today, on the 8th of August, 2008. There's an 8-8-8 in there, or at least the 8-8, and then they also are going to start the Olympics at 8 minutes after 8. 8 is a lucky number for the Chinese. This is definitely some ritual going on in this whole thing. And the scare of the bird flu has again arisen into the public consciousness. And it very well may be that they use this false flag, lab-created disease as a way to take down the populace on the planet. Launching it from the Olympics of all events. How nice. What a nice event the Olympics will be remembered for in eternity. With that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. He is a herbologist, number one, and we're going to put that in front today because we're going to be talking about herbs. And he is also a health scientist, and he is a researcher, a historian, and even a musician. And he's been on Evident Footprints countless times now over the past year, and I want to welcome him back, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me back.
Always my pleasure, and always the pleasure of the listening audience. Well, you got to hear my opening remarks about the bird flu, and I'm sure you've been following what's been out there. True Ott came out with a paper disclosing the intentions to put the pandemic scare back into the public consciousness. What's your feeling about that?
Well, Don, I just hope that your suspicion isn't accurate and doesn't come true. But it's very likely that they're going. You know, something we know for sure that they've been warning us of this kind of pandemic for the last 2 years at least now. So it's something in the plan book, and they want to unleash it on us in some manner, somehow. And your suspicion that via the Olympics they're contaminating, infecting visitors, and allowing them to transport it back to their home base. And there's a lot of probability there because, of course, the pandemic is part of their globalist agenda for subduing the whole world under their control, full control. And they need everyone sick, docile, lethargic. It's clearly something that they intend on doing. And as I discussed with you earlier, that I even seen a report to upper level management of IBM in Europe regarding the pandemic hitting them there, and if it does, they even said that it was going to come in three waves with 12-week intervals, and all the employees that may be infected and sick would have to remain on IBM property in the building for the whole duration, which could be indefinite. Just imagine that.
Now, did they say how, first of all, that's a strange description, but that's basically what I had read from the document that True Ott had sent out. And this has gone all over the planet. People are reading this, and they're taking it seriously. There must be some magical cause behind the Olympics. In other words, you have the Olympics, you're going to have the bird flu. Mm-hmm. Well, the way to avoid the bird flu would be to cancel the Olympics. You know, if you want to avoid it, right?
At least avoid spreading it around the globe.
Yes, exactly. You know. And another factor that that was mentioned was now this came out from those that are researching this and following what's going on, because when they have the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, they always have equestrian events, and they have various types of events. Most of it is equestrian jumping, and these animals are kept in a barn or a stable, if you want to call it that. And they're amongst each other. They're, if an infected animal, moves in a certain area, another horse is very likely going to pick up the disease.
Well, Don, don't forget, Don, that this disease is not emanating from nature herself, but rather out of man-made laboratories.
Oh, sure, sure.
And so there, so, you know, your point's well taken that the animals are probably in, conditions that aren't very sanitary, and therefore pathogens are lurking about. But don't forget, since it's man-made, they can create the situation anytime, any place by simply releasing the agent.
Yes, in any way they want. Now, in the beginning, it was described as a disease transmitted by mosquitoes. In other words, mosquitoes would bite a bird, then they would go and bite another bird, and I don't think the birds were biting each other, or just to be in proximity. Once one of them develops the symptoms, they could be sneezing on each other or making contact, either through the food source or just touching each other, or touching things that birds touch, branches and limbs of trees, for example.
You know, I'm glad, Don, you're bringing this up, and here's why. It's a blessing that they're telling us that this pandemic is coming from a disease that just affects birds, at least it used to. But for some reason now it's crossing over and it's going to affect humans.
Because of the Olympics.
It just, nature doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And so here we have these idiots. You think they would have a better story like, a more terrible strain of polio from 100 years ago somehow has evolved and it's running rampant. That has more plausibility than, it used to just affect birds, but now it's affecting us. We don't know how that happened. It doesn't happen. Unless you make it happen genetically in a laboratory,
mm-hmm. And then
Plum Island.
Yeah, then the question that precedes that is, how does the mosquito get it? Is it bitten by a bird?
Right.
You know,
exactly. Yeah.
Or another mosquito.
Well, yes, that's right, exactly.
Or is it bitten by a laboratory needle?
Right.
You know. Oh.
Yeah, that's the answer right there.
we can laugh about it, but it is a serious subject. Let's just think this through for a moment. That's what we're doing here, is we're discerning what the story is about, okay? Because it's a story. There's a plan, and they have to prepare us for the catastrophe. Now, imagine the amount of fear that this creates, and I'm hoping that the listening audience isn't thinking that we're talking about this from a state of fear, because...
Absolutely not. Because there's nothing to fear, especially when you know what we know, right, Don?
Yes. That's true. So, So this is to be considered. Now, there have been, let's go back to the equestrian events. So these events are going to take place. Now, these horses that participate in these events cost a fortune, just to maintain, to train, to transport around the world to these events. The people that ride the horses spend lots of money, lots of time, and a good portion of their career training these animals to do the things that they do. And so they don't take health issues very lightly. They've refused, I'm told, they've refused to participate in Beijing, where there is this uprising of the flu, the bird flu, and we're speaking of H5N1. Now, they're going to hold the equestrian events in Hong Kong. Now, let's hope that they don't take any of the mosquitoes with them as they're going there, or that there aren't any there with the bird flu. Again, we have this issue of crossing species, not only from birds to people, or birds to horses, or sure, mosquitoes to birds, to horses, to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
insane.
Vice versa.
Yeah, it's insane. None of it makes any sense.
That's right.
And it has a pretty sophisticated name for being something that occurred naturally in the wild, don't you think?
And I sure do, Don. And in addition to that, I also think that it's so strange that something coming out of the wild in nature, and yet they know it's going to be in three waves with 12-week intervals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
again, these guys are, you know, they're cunning, they're devious, they're incredibly sinister, and yet stupid, because it's just, they're just blowing the cover. If they're telling us it's wild from nature and such a strange event, how it crossed over now affecting humans, and yet, if it's such a mystery, how can you already anticipate it's going to strike Europe in three waves with 12-week intervals? There's no precedent for you to have that as a basis.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unless you're planning it all.
So, you know, our hats are off to the equestrian competitors, because they love their animals more than they do the show itself, and they don't want to expose them to that. Now, let's say they go through, usually the Olympics is around 14 days, you know, a good 2 weeks. I'm not sure the exact number of days. But they have the opening events, which occurs the evening before they begin the competition, and you have all of the qualification events, the qualifying events, and then some of the events that are one shot also occur throughout the course of the Olympics. And then these people either stay there for the duration, or some of them for a myriad of reasons have to leave the country. So you can expect that if they're going to be effective with this, and if it's plotted out, that they're going to come up with some reason early on in the Olympics to start vaccinating people, because there will be some people leaving China right after they compete. It's always been that way with these athletes. Some of them have careers and families, and they don't really intend to spend a lot of time there outside of what they're doing.
Especially when, Don, they don't have any real reason to stay further if they're no longer competing.
Yeah. Now, and that's exactly the reason I'm bringing this up, is that, let's say, when they arrive, would you give the bird flu vaccine right then and there? No, I don't think so, because most of them would fail the drug test. They test them, right? Okay?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
So they've got to really have something up their sleeve that that this would have to occur somehow, maybe in terms of the ports of entry and exit. In other words, those that are going to be leaving via the airport.
Hey, Don, you hit it right there, buddy. No matter what their strategy, if they want to infect quickly and have it spread everywhere fast, the airport, right at the airport, all the planes coming in and out.
And the birds, too. The birds are there also, if you ever hung around an airport.
The birds are there? Really?
Oh, yeah. They like airports. They do.
Really?
So, anyway, the point I'm making here is that there's a good chance that there's going to be some news about this. Now, we're already hearing news about it. I can't stand mainstream media anymore, and I'm just hearing from other people. Yeah, they're talking about it nonstop on TV now. And they do it sometimes in a fleeting moment, and sometimes they camp out on the story for a while. So it behooves everyone to really pay attention, because once they start that and the people leave, then they're going to start telling everybody, well, you know, we got this pandemic on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make a decision, because vaccines are not what we've been taught they are. They're toxic. They're whatever disease that they're supposed to fight, you're getting it.
That's right. Nothing that they say that is medicine is what it is claimed to be. Drug, they're all drugs synthetically made in laboratories. It's foreign chemicals, a foreign chemistry to the body itself, and therefore not digestible, not assimilable, and so therefore nothing but trouble to the body. So yes, sir, you're absolutely right. And let me just say also, Don, that the bottom line to what you're bringing up here is that they intend on this pandemic thing, whether or not it's via the Olympics to get it going, time will soon tell. But they're promoting it, as you're saying, and the reason is because they plan, it's a preparation for the sheeple to get ready for problem, reaction, solution. Their solution, well, you got to take the vaccination, or we also have to quarantine you. You're not allowed to leave this area indefinitely. Because, Don, that's the other part of this story. If you are infected, if they claim you are infected, or if they get away with trying to quarantine given areas, that means that anything within that area, according to them, cannot go anywhere indefinitely without their permission. Zeke Heil.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think the Chinese want us to stay there too long, because we wouldn't be back here to buy things at Walmart. So,
well, there's not going to be that many Americans there.
Yeah.
And
they already have overcrowding anyway. So.
Yes, and if our government tries to pull that off here, just imagine where you live, maybe 20-mile radius all around you is considered contagious and therefore quarantining it, and everybody within that perimeter, circumference, is not allowed to get out, to go anywhere indefinitely. I mean, that's just incredibly outrageous. Nobody's going to tell me, you can't go here or there. Look, I'll go wherever I want, and if I'm sick, then I'll handle it myself as well. The government has no business trying to tell me what to do with me, my body, which is ultimately my real private property. Out of any private property I may possess, my body is the ultimate.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, they don't call them private parts for nothing, do they? So.
If you can't protect your private property in the USA, then we are no longer a constitutional republic in any form at all, let alone really free.
Yeah. Well, now, in the event someone's going to get sick, and let's talk about remedies, okay? Something that brings some kind of relief to a person, okay? Obviously, if they give you the bird flu via a vaccine, what can one do?
Well, as far as my approach, Don, and this is what I referred to earlier, where we have nothing to fear at all because what we know, and that is for sure my infection killer herbal formula, which is incredibly effective for eliminating any form of infection. And up to this date, even Morgellons, 2 out of 2 cases of Morgellons, for sure, clean but infection killer. And I've just seen it stop parvo dead in its tracks when, say, a litter of puppies were infected and half the litter already died. Parvo will kill...
Were they newborns or...
Yes. Yeah, okay. Parvo with pups and kittens, it only affects them really when they're young. That's when they're vulnerable to this virus. And if they get infected, the vets cannot cure it. And if they get infected, they waste away within 3-4 days. They're dead. A beautiful, healthy puppy 3-4 days later is just a little stringy. I mean, it's so sad when you see him. Looks like they died of AIDS, kind of. Just really very sorry creatures when they go like that. And there's nothing the vets can do. And yet the infection killer, especially when you administer it with my dragon juice, I've saved 99% of every puppy coming in where half the litter's already gone. And the remaining half of the litter is on their way out. Within 24 hours, they'll all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of the time, save them all.
Yeah, now often in a puppy, you know, when a puppy, it's like the runt of the litter, often the mother or the bitch, as she's referred to, will ignore that puppy, giving the, somehow they know, let's say, that that the milk might go to waste, that there's,
yeah,
they sense there's something wrong. So it's an instinct
That's especially when the litter's big. If the litter's small, then that's less of a concern for the mom.
Yeah, but they know that. Now, in the event that they get sick, the mother herself can also contract the disease. If she's
not parvo.
No?
No, not parvo. They're immune. Once you beat it, because, like, the mom, she, let me take that back, because I'm just thinking of my dogs. When, as long as the mom has been, if she had exposure to parvo and she was cured, then she's not going to be vulnerable again. And if you give them the parvo shot when they're a puppy, then most of the time they won't be vulnerable as an adult.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But there is the possibility they could come down with it. So
it is a possibility, Don, a remote one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the puppies are always vulnerable. The kittens, very vulnerable. That's why they have to get a parvo shot or a distemper shot, they call it, for kittens. And it's just incredibly fast-acting how you'll see it just within days wither away. And but the infection killer, I just had a case around here with Lyme again, a guy in a pool business. So this time of year, that's his bread and butter. And he called me up. He said, I've been laid up with Lyme, can't work, and it's not good. And so I heard about you, and I turned him on to the infection killer. He called me 2-3 days later. He says, incredible, I'm on the job, I feel great. So I just want to put an order in for some more to stock up on that stuff. And it's just the ultimate that I've ever come across for any type of infection. Doesn't matter what it is, where it is. If it's an infection, that's all you need to know. Bacterial, viral, fungus, parasite. Does not matter. Or Morgellons, which is an unknown. Does not matter if it's an infection. Infection killer will take care of it. And it'll take care of it pretty fast, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the digestion is good, because my herbal formulas are technically foods, Don. That's the beauty of them. I'm really using herbs that are foods, but they're just incredible when you combine them in certain ways for overall synergistic effect, and enables the body just to wipe out any kind of infection really, really quite quickly, as long as the digestion system's working well, because that's the key to everything when it comes to herbal formulas. And really any medicine, any true medicine, the stomach, the digestion must be functioning normally, being strong, with good assimilation, good circulation, and then these formulas will excel.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about, you know, while you're describing this, this is flashing back into my consciousness, this idea of a pandemic spreading. When have the Chinese really been concerned about people outside of their own society? Now, they're concerned about spreading their products around the world. You know, the manufactured products that end up in our retail stores, they're concerned about that. And that ranges from everything from food all the way through children's toys, clothes, housewares, automobiles, pretty much everything now. And we have retail outlets that assist them in that. So why would they be concerned about whether or not we or anyone from a foreign country was spreading a disease?
Well, let me just say this about.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. In other words,
I don't know about that, Don, because they are still communist, the communist country to the core, as far as the government goes. The people, like any people in any country, I'm sure, all in all, are decent, good people. And as any country with any people, they have evil people there, too. But overall, people are people. It's the government, and they're communist to the core. And they have a new smooth veneer to fake out the Americans thinking, I mean, our own traitors in Washington have been telling us Russia's an ally or a friend now and communist China. It's nonsense. They're all communists, and the Rockefeller cabal, Rothschild cabal, they're communist, fascist in their techniques for having government controlling its people, and they're the financiers of every communist country as well as the Nazis, so therefore they are the commies Nazis, and it's all a veneer for us to drop our guard, and of course they don't care about us at all, not at all. It's just more of the
another way to look at how to interpret what this message is saying. That's the point I'm making.
Right, exactly. Sure, exactly. Right, Don. They obviously don't care about it, so why are they trying to act like they do? Sure.
Well, so now it would be advisable for someone to have infection killer. Now, I've shared a story or two about some of your remedies, if you want to call them that, and they are definitely like food. You don't feel anything happening to you except you get better.
Right.
I can say that. I had an instance where I was sawing a piece of wood and I got a splinter in my finger, and it was from an oak. And oak is an inducing agent, we'll say, for infection. Mm-hmm. Oak has a very hard bark to it. The wood is even much harder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very easy for all kinds of foreign substances to adhere to oak, and to any tree for that matter. But oak, because of its durability, seems to be able to withstand an attack on itself, and yet if you break your skin and get some of this accumulated germs and or bacteria, whatever you want to call them, into your bloodstream, it can develop an infection very, very quickly. I once, a number of years ago, had a puncture wound in a finger. And it got very, very infected overnight. It made me wonder if they hadn't been spraying chemtrails, you know, at night, and we just didn't see them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't develop anything worse than that infection, and I had to take care of it with antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And so for a good week to 10 days, I was still suffering from the wound itself.
Wow.
and even on antibiotics, okay, on a strong antibiotic.
Wow.
And then the healing process, you know, you're talking about, you know, a puncture wound, not just a superficial wound. It was a pretty serious wound. And there was even a piece of it inside that came out later on.
Right.
A piece of it broke off. So the body, as it got stronger, actually ejected it, is the only way I can describe it, okay?
Yes, it will. It'll expel it eventually.
Yes. Now, more recently, I got a splinter. It wasn't anything like that other one, but I noticed the same thing happening again. Mm-hmm. And I had the infection killer, and I followed the prescription, if you want to call it that, or followed the instructions.
Direction.
Yeah,
yep.
the directions. Mm-hmm. And within a matter of hours, I noticed a change right away.
Right, Don.
A matter of hours.
Right.
And the next day, it was as though it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
On another instance, there was a paper cut, and it was starting to redden on, you know, on a finger. And it was a pretty deep paper cut, too. And so, again, I tried the infection killer, and the wound completely closed up. I hadn't even taken the rapid heal. I hadn't even thought to take the rapid heal.
Right.
And speaking of the rapid heal, I had an instance, about a half a week ago, where I was fixing something and using a hammer. And, you know, in the summertime, you like to be barefoot and, you know, be able to breathe a little bit. And it's warm enough where you can walk around barefoot. And I was actually inside the house. And the hammer fell on my toe.
Youch.
And it, the way it hit, you know, it fell about 3 feet to the floor, and the way it hit my toe, it couldn't have hit it any squarer. I mean, it hit it perfectly.
Just your luck.
yeah, it was my lucky day. And it was a very sharp pain that continued until I moved into the realm of the rapid heal.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. That's what you go to.
And I hadn't eaten yet. It was early in the day. I hadn't eaten any meal.
Perfect.
So,
perfect.
So I took the rapid heal on an empty stomach. And for the listening audience, that's just two capsules of a combination of herbs. And within 10 minutes, the sharp pain went away, and it became a dull pain. Now, I would attribute it to the rapid heal. It was sharp enough that I was considering that it might even be broken. Okay, that's how hard
yes,
it is.
Yes, because of the pain that sharp, yes.
Okay.
I know, I've been there, yep.
Now, later on in the day, it swelled up and it looked bruised, and it was. and in the evening, I again followed the directions and took two more of the rapid heal. Mm-hmm. And then next day, it started feeling better. The pain was gone. The bruising and a little bit of swelling was there. And by the end of the second day, it was feeling pretty good.
Right.
I went back to wearing shoes because it was uncomfortable wearing shoes, you know, with it hurting that much.
Right, that's right. You were putting pressure on it.
Yeah. And on the third day, halfway through the third day, so basically you're talking 2, 4, 6, 8 on after 10 of the rapid heal capsules, all the bruising was gone.
That's great,
all
Don.
All the indication of the bruising.
That's great to hear. That's beautiful. There's nothing. I've done all kinds of work and over the years, and there's nothing more rewarding than to have this kind of job and to be able to hear these kind of results and know that. You know, people are happy seeing themselves recover from a health situation, whichever it may be, using my formulas. It's just beautiful. I love it. And the Lord is good. And there's just nothing like these formulas. And everyone, when they when they use them, they all realize it, that there's really, you never see anything like it. It's just amazing stuff, and it's very simple, it's very safe, and also, considering what they do, very affordable. Mm-hmm. I keep them as cheap as I can because it's meant for everyone. That's the way the Lord wants it. It's for everyone, so it's available when they need it, regardless of the situation. They should be able to afford $20, $25. And the Affection Killer is $45. That cost me more to put it together, and so I have to charge a little more for that. But again, you just really need the whole bottle for anything. It'll be rare. One bottle should last you quite a while.
Oh yeah, and, it does. Yeah.
Yep. They're just very potent, very powerful, and generally no one's ever seen anything like it. Even herbalists are stunned when they see the results I get, because it's in minutes and hours and just a day or two, when you're pretty much getting yourself out of the woods of that situation, and instead of taking weeks or months. And so that's great, Don. Just love it. Let me give you an example also what you can do with an Infection Killer. Because the Infection Killer is also very strengthening to the immune system in a unique way. And so it'll just help the body get super healthy just because it's pumping up the immune system in such its own unique way that's very special. And you just start to feel good and strong, quick. And because of that ability, when you're exposed to poisons, like say you have an allergy to a bee sting, well, you don't have to panic if you have Infection Killer around, especially with dragon juice, because I've seen it firsthand with my mom a couple summers ago, around this time of year, real hot. She got stung by a bee, never had been allergic at 75 years old. At the time she was 73, never had been allergic before. And she got stung by a bee, and within 10 minutes, she was swelled up like a balloon, paralyzed in intense pain and crying, trying to call 911. So I grabbed my dragon juice. Thank God I was around. I grabbed my dragon juice, my Infection Killer. With a straw, she was able to ingest it. And exactly 5 minutes, the pain was virtually all gone. Exactly 10 minutes later, she was up and walking around like it never happened. No swelling at all anywhere, and she had major swelling. In 10 minutes, she was totally fine, 100%, like it never happened.
Yeah, and you wonder if she had gone to a hospital, what she would have gone through.
Sure. Well, by the time the 911 guys got there, if my mom was still alive, because she was rapidly dying, no getting around that. She was rapidly dying before my eyes.
Yeah, you go into toxic shock at that point, I would presume.
That's right. So I'm pretty sure they give you an adrenaline shot right on the spot. And then, right, once they take her to the hospital, then forget it. Because they'll just drug her up and ultimately weaken her immune system. And her body, and she will over time languish with their approach, and gradually her health will continue to diminish, because that's all that happens when you go with that approach of drugs. Drugs are not medicine, never will be. Body just cannot digest synthetics.
Yeah.
But that's what you can do.
Yeah. You know, we want to point out, too, that often the doctors themselves are unaware of what they're doing. You know, this becomes protocol within the hospitals where they work. They, you know, these hospitals stock the drugs that they use.
Yeah,
they're instructed what to use.
Well, you see, Don, the doctors may be unaware only because they're not thinking. As an environmental scientist with incredible the science classes, the math, the calculus, the physics, the chemistry, everything that I had to take to become an environmental scientist. What a grueling Bachelor of Science degree that was to obtain. And doctors, their first 4 years are probably, I would imagine, they should be at least that intense with all those disciplines that you have to acquire. But after that, then they're strictly under pharmaceutical training, Don. They're no longer scientists pursuing science. They are now pharmaceutical agents from that point on, being trained by them on what to use according to them when various symptoms are existing in a patient. And, of course, their approach is drugs, drugs, drugs that they manufacture in labs and sell for enormous amounts of money. But, unfortunately, they don't help anybody, and with all the side effects, actually are very detrimental to the individual's health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back to what we were talking about, there was a question I wanted to ask you. How is it that IBM came up with this information, this insider information? What is their role in all of this?
Oh, good question. And IBM, I've worked there for almost 13 years. Started as a chemist and was full-time engineering and semiconductor manufacturing in a major facility at East Fishkill, which at the time had over 10,000 people on site daily. Sprawling, huge site, incredible job. To this day, I could probably get a job any place in semiconductor manufacturing because of my background. And IBM, I realized by the time I quit, because I quit those guys, once my college loan was paid off, I learned everything I could from working there, and it was time to get out on my own, pursue music and stuff. And by that time, I realized they were Nazis, not the people themselves, but the corporation itself was Nazi. And it was also at that time where they were just starting to offshore and eliminating a lot of U.S. American jobs, watching people I knew getting laid off left and right. And so as it turns out, in fact, at East Fishkill, one day when I was showing a local guy a photograph of that Nazi swastika building at Coronado Navy Base off San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said, you know, that reminds me of IBM's building. So I said, yeah, IBM is everywhere around here. It used to be IBM country all the way up into the late 80s. And IBM buildings and plants all over the place, East Fishkill being the plant, and one in Poughkeepsie, and then in Kingston, and then little satellite buildings all over the place. Lots of people work. This is IBM country, used to be. So anyway, I said, East Fishkill? You're talking about East Fishkill? Because I knew it had to be East Fishkill. And he said, yes. And I said, which building? And I'm pretty sure he was saying 300. That was the building I started in as a chemist. Yes. And they had to change it, though, he said. It was so obvious from the helicopter activity from Dutchess County Airport over time as it was expanding with helicopters and stuff. It became obvious from all the flyovers that it was a swastika building. And so they had to modify it. And that's all in the late 70s, going into the early 80s, okay? And so IBM, obviously, is into this globalism stuff. They're part of the major industrial-military complex that the banksters, the Rockefeller Rothschild cabal, have created in their system of controlling people and countries and governments and ripping them off by constantly engaging in wars, and whether it's a hot war or a cold war, and with their arms supplies, who do you think's building up all the arms, manufacturing them? These banksters are, through their big corporations. So it's just a major racket. IBM's part of it. Of course, there's a book, IBM and the Holocaust, and that came out a few years back, and it clearly It's a great book because it clearly portrays IBM's role with the Nazis, helping them with their original computers, which were tabulating machines with the punch cards, which the Nazis used for all their data and statistic handling of people and people control in concentration camps and the public in general. And so the dirt on IBM is deep, and so they're into the globalism stuff, and that upper-level management report that circulated a few years ago, which was just intended for them, clearly proves how involved they are, because they were predicting this three waves with 12-week interval hits. And so clearly they're involved in it tremendously. IBM is involved in the Genome Project, they're the ones driving the whole thing, mapping out every genome, and they're getting close to finalizing it, they say.
Now, this is on the computer side you're doing this, or is it a combination of the biomed industry as well? Are they getting that?
Yes, it's all of that. They're using their technology in conjunction with the biomed advancements to map out every genome so they can have a blueprint of every genome. Now, once they have that...
IBM originally stood for International Business Machines. I think they should rename it Insidious Bird Flu Monsters or something like that.
Well, we knew them as itty-bitty morons. And that referred to the management, not to the great people that a lot of them I worked with. There was a lot of great people. But the management, its own worst enemy, as you learn in any major bureaucracy corporation, it's like a little government unto itself. And they all have their own little empires, all the departments and sections, areas. They have their own first level, second level, third level management. They have their own little empires, and they want to protect that at all costs. They got to keep revenue coming in at all costs so they can justify their existence, just like our government.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned so much working there, so much, not just semiconductor stuff, but everything, just observing them as a corporation and seeing the similarities with our government and then realizing so much over the years of what it was all about.
Now, let's even look at another possibility, and I think this, you know, because of what's going on in China. In fact, next week I'm going to have Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle from the Idaho Observer on the first part of the show next Tuesday, because they want to come out with this more information on this story and get this out to the public. We're not trying to create panic. What just occurred to me while you were talking is that, you know, this whole story about the bird flu could be a ruse for something else, too. I mean, there...
As far as another form of a pandemic, you mean?
It could be anything. it could be more of the AIDS virus.
It could
be...
A disease, but you're still talking disease.
I'm still saying a disease. And another... The reason that thought entered my mind was throughout my research, I came across the name of a company that has affiliations with Nazis, specifically Joseph Mengele.
Mm-hmm.
And that's W.R. Grace and Company. And they're heavily into chemicals and that, but they're not going to tell you exactly what kind of research they're doing either, especially if it's along the lines of what we've been discussing and what I've heard others discuss in relation to this topic. The company was founded in Lima, Peru, and at the time, bat guano was the product they produced. Bat guano, okay.
Okay.
So we're saying bat droppings, bat feces.
That's what came to mind right off right off the bat.
Okay, that's what guano is, a nice word. Okay,
yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
It sort of makes it a mysterious product, right?
Well,
but the one would think that what's the use or the value in bat guano? And I suppose they were saying.
Fertilizer.
It was a fertilizer, okay? Well, in studying Ebola and AIDS and those lab diseases that mysteriously began showing up in the Congo and in caves. In fact, there was a particular cave in Africa where the disease was detected. Or it was related. It was associated with someone having gone into this cave in search of the source. And, you know, it was blamed on a green monkey. You know, they come up with these ridiculous stories.
Sure.
And it was transmitted to a man that had sex with a green monkey.
I remember hearing that one.
And I'm sure that there was plenty of swamp gas, crash dummies, weather balloons, and clear air lightning around at the time that happened. He had to be totally deranged. So, So, but this was a serious issue because Ebola was traced to the bat guano. Now that tells you that bat guano is a fertile breeding ground for these types of viruses.
All fecal matter is.
Yes, and bat guano found in the droppings in a cave often is along the cave walls.
Sure, and it's near, moist.
Yes.
Moist, yeah, sure.
And it's dark, and so you have all the proper breeding conditions for
a perfect environment. Mm-hmm.
You know, for a very rabid kind of pathogen, if you want to call it
sure,
that.
It's a pathogen.
To grow. Okay.
Sure.
So, you know, this bird flu thing could very well be just a ruse to mask something else.
Absolutely, Don. You know, if they're selling something through the Rockefeller media where every channel, bird flu, you know they're selling it to the sheeple. They'll get them prepped for the problem reaction solution. And so it could be something else, and this is just part of the preparatory
mind conditioning
process.
Yeah.
That's right. And so sure enough, I mean, I'm pretty sure they've also have been able to take the bubonic plague, and they reactivated that.
And the swine flu
Swine flu, right. Polio, mm-hmm, which the Spanish flu technically was, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, clearly, I mean, we know that with their globalist agenda and world dominion, they have to reduce the population according to the United Nations report, so they can have easier control over the entire world. So they have to depopulate at least, 60-75%, they're talking? And so so they have to do it through, if they try to do it all in one manner, like just war, that's a major war. And if they just try to do it all through disease, then it's going to be one major pandemic disease that's just going to, like the plague of the Middle Ages, just devastates everything everywhere as it rolls along. Or do it piecemeal, a little bit from war, a little bit through disease, a little bit through starvation, and achieve their goal in that fashion. So all of these are very possible scenarios, and we just have to be aware of all this and watch them closely.
Yeah, I would it would be a good litmus test for these vaccines is to take six syringes, five filled and one empty, and squirt the contents of one-fifth of each of the first five filled syringes into the empty one, and start with the head of the Chinese government.
Yeah.
And then go through each world leader like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right? Until you use up the five syringes. Okay? Now, it would be interesting to see how many of them are going to, you know,
submit.
Back off.
Yeah, how many will submit to that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, in many of the Far East countries, they have a habit where you had an emperor or a leader that was suspicious of all the people. They had people that tested their food.
Oh, well, that's everywhere. Everywhere where you have a dictator, he's worried about somebody bumping him off.
So, you know, if the vaccine is safe, then you take it too. And there are ways to go about that.
And of course, vaccinations is a modern, again, totally new approach that, you know, just wasn't necessary in the past. So why is it necessary now? And it's never going to be effective like treating the body correctly the way the designer intended.
Yeah.
And then going to the designer's laboratory, which is nature, which is a perfect chemistry. It's infallible. That's the beauty of Mother Nature. I don't mess around as a chemist in a synthetic laboratory. It's a waste of time for health. I will mess around in Mother Nature's laboratory and have the ultimate perfection acquired eventually. And thanking the good Lord, a long time ago, I acquired all that perfection with my various formulas. And that's That's all that's necessary. And it's simple. It's always safe. And, of course, the results are superior to anything. And the Americans and everybody else around the planet, they just have to get educated on that fact so they know that their bodies are their personal private property. Think very deeply before you allow some stranger to inject something into that body temple of yours.
Yeah, it's an important point. And, you know, there's in drinks, for instance, people know the benefits of herbal teas. They found that out a long time ago, that there were certain teas that relax a person and help you go to sleep because they have a calming effect. They're not drugs. They're nature's way of balancing the energies in the body.
Yes, it's a chemistry, Don. It's a chemistry. Like drugs, it's a chemistry, but it's a perfect chemistry. And so it's providing the body with the right kind of elements, which are nutrients, because anything that keeps the body healthy is a nutrient. And so the herbs, they contain compounds and nutrients, minerals, vitamins, compounds, enzymes. And these function in the body like no other chemistry can, because it's exactly the way the body's designed, and the body has no problem digesting this stuff, pulling it right in, assimilating it, and then the herb's virtue or power that it possesses is unleashed in the body system. That's the beauty of Mother Nature and the plant kingdom and with her herbs.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are also methods, and it bears mentioning, to detoxify the body. And, you know, there are herbs that do that, but there is also several processes that have to take place that a body is detoxified in the proper order. You know, you have people that go from fast food to diet pills, thinking that, okay, the diet pill is going to stop them from eating, and so therefore they're going to eat less. So they go to the fast food place and buy less, or find themselves still addicted, and then when they get off the diet pill, they gain even more weight because they're just putting everything out of balance. So we're talking about really a more holistic approach to eating habits and exercise and resting and lifestyle, really, because it takes a bit of an effort to focus on those things. You know, if you're sitting at a desk 8 hours a day, you have to counteract that somehow with...
And just think about, you're sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, also in artificial light. So the whole environment is not conducive for health, and you have to be aware of that and make sure you supplement yourself, expose your body's temple, as well as your mind, your intellect, and also your spiritual nature, stimulating it with everything that's conducive to keep it all healthy, which you're not getting in that kind of environment. So absolutely, Don. And the diet is the key to everything. And if the diet's really proper, which is God's diet, there's only one diet for the body, that's God's diet, just like there's only one type of way to treat your car. If you treat it any other way than a designer intended, well, the warranty's void, and you're going to have nothing but problems, of course, down the road. And our body's no different. The designer has one specific diet to keep that body going all the time, around the clock, and also to keep it nice and new. And so, absolutely, that's the diet. It's critical to everything, because ultimately, when it comes to our health, Don, and when I get my book completed, we'll go over all this in real detail, because I expose the real science to health so everybody can learn quickly how to gain control and mastery over their health, because it's simple, it's easy, but nobody's teaching us, because those that may know don't want us to know, and
they're
the rest just don't
money.
Have a clue.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're too busy making that almighty dollar.
Yes, sir, at the expense of the client, because I'm sure generally the people would feel like, hey, the doctor is expensive, but he's, I feel great. He made me healthy. The disease went away. Then they would justify the expense. A lot of times, you know, well, not a lot of times, but I do come across people occasionally, the very wealthy kind, where, how much is your rapid heal? $25? It can't be that good. It's only $25.
Okay, give me 100.
That's right. Exactly. You know, it can't be good. It's only $25. Let's go somewhere else. They want to hear a high price tag because they figure it's how else can it be good if it's not expensive?
Mm-hmm.
And so with that kind of mentality, I could see people accepting doctors' high cost if they were really helping them. But of course, it's supposed to be cheap. That's why Rapid Heal's $25. It's supposed to be cheap. That's my job, to get my country healthy one person at a time, and I'm doing it the good Lord's way. It's all got to be cheap. I'm not getting rich off anybody. But over time, with volume, I have an opportunity to make money. And that's how it's supposed to be. And that's how I totally operate. But getting back to the diet, Don, that's everything. The stomach is the key to our health. That's the secret everybody must learn. Don't destroy the health of your stomach. Don't treat it like a garbage can. It's technically a muscle, but your whole entire health hinges on the condition of the stomach. When it's open and clean, like a young kid, then your energy's super high. Your digestion, assimilation, circulation at peak performance. And if there's an injury or an infection gets in, then my formula's going into a system that healthy. Just takes a few capsules, and that problem is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we also want to point out that, you know, if they drink water, let's say, you know, some people take a capsule, okay, you're going to take a couple of gel caps of an herb. Don't drink tap water.
You know, please don't.
Drink, that's a no-no.
Please
just
don't.
Because of what is in it.
That's right.
Okay, and then and if you're not sure about what's in tap water, do a little bit of research.
Call up your water department.
Ask them what they put in it. Ask them what
That's
they
right.
treat it with to put
Ask.
To kill the bacteria.
And yes, sir, Don, and also, because a lot of people don't even think it is, where is the water coming from? A lot of times when I get a call from a client and I get to the water issue, what are you drinking? You're drinking tap water. Spit it out. Don't even put it in your cooking because you're ingesting it. If you cook it too, cook with it as well. And if it's coming from surface water, forget it. Forget it. Like a river and they're processing, or a lake and they're processing it, forget it. Plus, right, what they add into it, the chlorines, and now a lot of chloramines, forget it. Tap water plus the lead pipes.
And the fluorides.
And the fluoride, yes, sir, Don, the fluorides, of course. Forget it, people. You cannot trust it. In fact, the only thing you can trust is it will ruin your health.
And fluorides are toxic waste, which is a byproduct of the aluminum manufacturing process.
Mm.
If it was intended for us to drink water in that state, God would have put aluminum plants in the lakes and the streams and the rivers and the ocean. He would have put them right in there.
And Don, you know, now that you mention that, I'm glad you did, because everyone also must realize, never cook with aluminum either. If you have aluminum cookware, toss it out immediately, because it's a soft metal, it's very toxic, and it comes right off in your cooking. Alzheimer's could be from that.
Yeah, that's one contributing factor for sure.
Some kind of disease will come about from eating out of aluminum cookware. That's a guarantee.
And then there are those that will say, well, I don't drink tap water, or I don't drink water at all. I'll wash it down with a diet drink. And now we have to think about aspartame.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure about aspartame, Google.
Yeah, that's right. And get ready for another nightmare of what you're going to read. But while you're mentioning water, let me say real quick for your benefit of your listening audience. Here's what you do. get rain barrels, good quality rain barrels, and set them up under gutters so you can collect rainwater. And then go to Home Depot and buy a water filter system called Zero Water. You can go to zerowater.com. I get nothing for this. This is what I do. And it's the best. Scientifically, it's the best, cheapest way to assure yourself and your family you've got pure quality water the way God intended, unlike any other filter system, and there's nothing to really hook up. It's I think all their new models are still gravity fed, so there's nothing to install hook up. But the filter system, state-of-the-art, it takes everything out, everything. You get a TDS meter, total dissolved solids meter, with the kit, so you can see for yourself that there's nothing in the water. It's distilled water equivalent. Then you can use that water for your cooking and to charge that water, because it's distilled equivalent. You don't want to drink it steady like that. Once in a while is okay, but distilled water consumption daily is very unhealthy for anybody not knowing that yet. Do not drink distilled water regularly. It's very unhealthy. But once in a little while, a little bit, it's okay. Otherwise, make your teas, your juices with it, and your cooking with it, and therefore, the water that goes into your body is pure and clean. It won't contaminate and pollute and toxify your body, which is 70% water. Our bodies are 70% water. Water's critical. It's a critical part of the diet. So don't drop your guard on that one.
Yeah, and back to the aspartame, if I may, just for those people, you know, you don't see the name aspartame on the little packets, the pink ones and the blue ones and the yellow ones that they give you in the restaurants, next to the white ones, which have processed sugar. In fact, again, all four have drawbacks.
It's very toxic.
Yes.
And your Idaho Observer did a great expose on that a few years back with Rumsfeld and aspartame and how
it's a nerve toxin that was originally invented to kill rats. can't be any more blunt than that. That's what
And fluoride's also in rat poison. Hello.
Yeah.
Geez, Don, you think they're out to poison us? No. Not our government. Why would they do that to us?
Couldn't be. Now, what are the symptoms? Well, you go to someone, you go to your next door neighbor and ask them what they think about 9/11, or ask them what they think about a bird flu pandemic, or ask them what they think about the central banks and the Federal Reserve, and the possibility of a total financial collapse by sometime in September, and watch the glazed look on their eyes. Those are the people that you want to encourage to do some research.
Those are the people that have to start thinking very quickly.
Yes,
snap out of that sleeping state.
Yeah, because that is a sign that they have been totally controlled, and there are other methods that go along with this. You see, this isn't...
Yes, Don. Primarily, Don, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you because you're on a great point. But
then don't. I'm just kidding.
You're looking at boob tube watchers. When you come across those kind of people, they are living on the boob tube, TV. That's why they got that glazed look.
Yeah. You know, I heard Steve Jacobson on Michael Herzog's show today, and he was pointing out the fact that that there is so much science that goes into the process of watching television
that
there are... we could say there are certain stimuli, adrenaline and endorphins that are released in the body that become addictive, and the individual that is, and this is the control of you know, the electromagnetic frequencies that are occurring, and sound and light,
that's right, Don. They're utilizing that science to have an influence over people's thoughts and the mind's processing of thoughts. However, ultimately, what you realize if you watch TV is that it stops you from thinking. You see, now you're just watching something, but you're not thinking. And that's its goal. And so that's why you don't want to watch anything unless it's something like History Channel or a good movie. That's just escapism. That's fine. When you want to have escapism, you want to watch a movie and escape, that's one thing. But to sit there and watch show after show, stupid show after show, you are now in a totally non-thinking condition.
Yeah.
And just being stimulated.
And you know that the media, and as a TV, for example, and I think this is a good time to bring this up on this show with you as the guest, is what I'm referring, and also in the show, in this segment of the show. Let's get real specific here. I notice it doesn't matter, if you're trying to watch, let's say, it could be the History Channel, or it could be the Sci-Fi Channel, or it could be a particular movie channel. It could be even some of the religious channels now are entering into this arena where they're showing commercials that are quite inappropriate. I don't see how these people get away with this. They're talking about taking vitamin C out of the stores. They're talking about making certain beneficial.
Dan, you saying commercials are showing this?
Well, hold on. I'm backtracking a second here.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna.
You're talking about Codex Alimentarius now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. Their intention is to make all the natural vitamins or the vitamins that are sold over the counter illegal.
Yes.
And
also lower their doses, right.
Yes. And
concentrations, yeah.
And raise the prices on them, of course. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
We see these commercials, and you and I have discussed this on other shows, but it bears repeating here because this is taking on a whole new dimension now. There's a particular commercial for a product called Enzyte, and they talk about the product's ability to make a certain part of the male body larger.
Okay,
but they never identify what that part of the body is. It could be the nose, you know.
I think they usually have a good-looking girl trying to...
Yeah,
the guys understand what it is that's getting her so excited.
Yeah, they've turned it into an infomercial as well, and they show this on the Comedy Channel, which is, if you want more comedy, you know, watch it.
Exactly.
But they have one guy there, and they'll have four or five women there, and they're discussing how important it is that the male species has this larger certain part of the body, is how they refer to it.
Right.
And they're openly talking about sex.
Yes, they are.
And they're not doing it in a clinical way now.
It's
it's extremely graphic, and it's highly suggestive. Okay.
Sure enough.
And they make sure that they have a representation, a racial representation, a hair color representation, a clothing style. Representation, a cleavage representation, all the way across the board. That all of this is stimulation to the senses, mostly the eyes.
Sure.
And then the story and the subject content is so low in frequency. And then they bring you and I have talked about this doctor that comes on there, and hello, I'm Dr. Stein, and I have thoroughly investigated this product for 25 years, and he's, you know, how did he investigate it? Did he use it? Did he test it?
Says
this has not been approved by the FDA, but they're telling you how this is going to do that. Now, this is so opposite.
Yes.
Sound health.
Point.
This is so opposite sound health. And now they're following this commercial up with a female commercial where two women are in a restaurant and there's an elderly lady sitting on the balcony section of the restaurant a little bit higher, and she's eavesdropping in on their conversation. And they're talking about self-pleasuring themselves.
Holy, you got on TV?
With a product which is called the fingertip I think they called it the fingertip massage or massager.
Holy smokes.
The fingertip massager. And they're talking about how they can, you know, how they want to order this and how difficult the one is, you know, all the trouble this girl is having, and the old lady's smirking at them, and then, or I should say the elderly lady is smirking at them, and then she's going about, paying attention to something she's reading while she's eating or drinking her coffee, and then she looks over at them again, and finally she said, "Oh, you can get this online. It was easy. And that's where I got mine." You know.
Wow.
And it's now sad, it's to the point now where, okay.
I hope that's not during normal hours of the day where kids are watching this.
I mean, flat out, we're talking about female masturbation. Okay?
Wow.
And this comes right after the Enzyte commercial. And, now, I haven't seen the doctor come out there yet, but he'll be the next one, or she will be the next one having lunch there.
Well, I was just going to say, and maybe having orgies there is what they're going to start showing next. Look, here's the guy with the Enzyte, and here's the girls with that whatever, and look, now they're together. I mean, it's the bottom line, Don, is the communists to take us over, the devils, in order to destroy the United States from within, has to rob it of its spiritual power.
And its spiritual integrity.
And, of course, because you can't have spiritual power if there's not spiritual integrity, and that means you're living virtuously. So they're exposing the kids to this vice and people to this vice of taking a natural force, which is sex, and just exploiting it in every way possible in order to get people wrapping their minds around one thing 24/7, that's sex, and therefore distracting them from everything else that's important in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And if the people aren't aware of this by now, because they're being bombarded with this daily, then come on, people, snap out of it. Wake up. Use your eyes. Use your ears.
Pay attention to what's going on here. You know, think about why you're seeing this.
You got it. What are they trying to do to you?
You know, because you could sell a million things on TV.
That's right.
Why is it that this select group of products and select group of companies is selling a select to a select clientele?
Well, they're selling sex, Don. Nothing's changed. But what's happened, the only thing that has changed is that now, it's no longer subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's always subtle. They had to keep it subtle that they were selling sex. The girl was pretty, but she was well-dressed, looking good. She could act sexy, had that magnetism about her where you could sense she's sexy, but that was the extent of it. Now,
it was left up to your imagination. Now, now your imagination is being put right out there for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. They've taken it now to the all-time low where ultimately they wanted it to be, where they can keep people's minds in the gutter. Sex is a natural force. It's, hello, I mean, it's been around longer than us.
And then they have, they've actually got people selling these products. Okay, these are drugs. Now, are these people licensed to sell drugs?
Well, I don't believe they're drugs, Don. See, that's the thing there.
Well, are you telling me a pill you take that makes your a certain part of the male anatomy grow is not a drug?
Let's say, I'm speaking generally because I think there's more than one product out there now because of its popularity. Everybody's getting into the act. And some of them are claimed to be natural. And but maybe others are drugs. Could be.
Yeah, you know, it's, I just think that, there are certain standards that, are just being cast to the wind, you know.
Oh, definitely. Standards are out the window.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're out of time. It's been a very interesting, show as usual, and, we're recapitulating on a lot of stuff, but this is a message that requires repeating from time to time, because people, you know,
they need to hear it.
We could be preaching to the choir, or we could be talking right. to people that are hearing this for the first time.
That's right. That's what we're hoping to. The people for the first time at least now have had their eyes opened up with a whole new perspective on things.
Yes, and I want to encourage anyone that's interested in obtaining Michael Anthony's products to visit my website, directlightproductions.com, and you can go to the sponsors page. Just click on Michael Anthony, and there's some contact information to put you in touch with Michael. And I'm going to keep telling Michael he's got to get a website. he's too busy, though, filling the orders. So
Someday.
So you can get in touch with Michael through my website. His information is there. And I hear nothing but good things back from the folks that try your products.
That's great. That's great. Yes, I'm really privileged, Don, to be able to serve in this capacity my fellow brothers and sisters. It's out of any kind of work I've done in any kind of trade. It's very rewarding seeing people get well and not getting ripped off and losing spending a lot of money to obtain that wellness. And it's just very rewarding to me and very encouraging to hear all that. And I want to thank you very much again for having me on, Don, and promoting me in this fashion. And my whole intention is, in this capacity, is just to provide the ultimate products for health so people can get back into a productive life, no longer be suffering from some kind of condition, so they're happy and productive and doing their thing so we can keep this country strong and moving in the right direction.
Yeah. That's so true, too, and I want to thank you for the work that you're doing and the information. If you hear anything more about the bird flu, please let me know. And if we, if it warrants, you know, getting the information out, we'll have you on, even if it's, you know, on a short notice.
Sure will, Don. I'd be glad to. Let me say real quick also that I have seen locally a friend of mine when he heard me talking about this roughly a year ago as well. He had, his mom had received in the mail from our county health department a warning of a pandemic coming and quarantining and what to do and this and that. And no one, I don't know of anyone else seeing this. No one else has been talking about it, that they got something like that in the mail. It must have slipped out somehow to a senior citizen. And so I've seen that as well, Don. So.
Yeah, I think I sent you something about that. There was a town picked out that had a population of 60,000 people, and it happened to coincide with a report that there were, initially there were some 60,000 plastic coffins in the vicinity of Atlanta,
yep.
Georgia.
Right, I heard about that one, yep. And so here in just our county, Some letter got out about a year ago. I think it was a slip. It was premature. And clearly, you know, they're prepping all the local governments, the federal government, the traders in Washington, D.C., are prepping all the traders in our state and local governments to get ready to go along with their problem reaction solution garbage nonsense, which is going to, of course, take away more of our freedoms and get a lot of people sick when they get those shots. And let's hope also that a lot of patriots at the federal, state, and local levels in our government are going to put their feet down and do the right thing, step up to the plate,
mm-hmm.
and defend our rights as mandated by them.
And they had to make these coffins out of plastic. They had to get the oil company some profit out of that too.
Yeah.
It's just never ends, you know.
And they're specialists at taking care of each other.
Yeah. Well, Michael, it's been a pleasure and very informative, and I want to thank you for the work you're doing. And let's say goodnight to the audience.
Thank you, Don. My pleasure as well, sir.
And you'll be on again in August a couple of times already, I think. We've already got you booked. So
looking forward to it.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Michael Anthony, herbologist, will be with us again in August, and you can check out his Michael Anthony's private stock on my website, Direct Light Productions. Click on Sponsors, and then click on Michael Anthony. Just put your cursor right on his name and click, and it'll open up a page and tell you about the products that he carries. And also would like to thank Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.